Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. What's a holiday without good food and something nice to sip on? So we're talking about holiday cooking. In a minute, we're also going to tell you how to make a traditional holiday beverage, mulled wine. So if you have folks coming over later, you have a nice bottle of red wine sitting around there and some spices, you might want to listen up. But first, food. And for that, we have a very special guest, celebrity cook and author Jerry Garvin. Now, if you don't recognize that name, that's okay, because he's known to the world as G. Garvin. He joins us now from the studios of NPR West. Hello, Chef. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. How are you? And I love the way you broke the G. Garvin thing down, because it's so true.
Yeah, G. Well, that's who you are. You're G. Now, the name of your first book and the title of your TV show is Turn Up the Heat. So how do we turn up the heat and still not break the budget? Because as you know, of course, a lot of us are counting our pennies right now. So what's the advice for keeping it special without breaking the bank?
The easiest and oldest tricks for keeping your budget is your shopping list. I think most people go to the store without a shopping list because everyone wants to be so quote unquote busy. But when you prepare your list, you know what you want, you know what you need, you stick to those items, and you don't venture down aisles and randomly pick up things that you go, oh, I think I'm going to get this. And, ooh, I'm going to try this. That's when the budgets get out of control. But if you have a list and you go in and you get those items, you'd be amazed as to how much money you will actually save. And then second to that, it's always great, and I feel more fun even, to have people bring things. It's not as if it would be a potluck, but, you know, people enjoy bringing their dishes and kind of being involved in dinner. So there's a couple of ways right there, I think.
Now, your third book, Dining In, just released this year. Now, that's timely because, frankly, one of the ways I think a lot of folks are looking to save is by eating out less and dining in more. And certainly during the holidays, a lot of people like to stick close to home. So what's the secret of dining in and keeping that still feeling special?
I feel like when I did Dining In, it gets you back to the dinner table. You get to reintroduce your family to your family, and you know what's going on in people's lives. Because when I was growing up, we all sat around and we had dinner and we talked, like the movie Soul Food. That allows us to live in a preventive society so that you know what's going on. And also, it's just a fun thing to do, sitting around, talking to the people you love, and catching up with your family. So that's why I did Dining In.
I mean, obviously, one of the reasons people say they don't dine in more is that it takes a lot of time and that they feel like they're pressed for time and that the results aren't going to be great. And they don't want to eat the same things over and over again. They find themselves falling into a pattern. So what's your thought about how you can make dining in feel special?
Well, that's another good thing about the book. Dining In is the title and the philosophy behind the book, but the recipes are actually really, really good. So when you get the book, there are things that you can enjoy. The original name for this book was called Easy Gourmet, because I wanted people to have gourmet meals that they had out at restaurants at home, but we changed it to Dining In. So if you look at the book, and some of the recipes are really, really good, like the Maryland crab and shrimp with avocado. Great dish you can do at home. I've got a seared pork chop with warm Granny Smith apples and brandy, which is incredible. I've got a whole filet mignon stuffed with roasted garlic and rosemary, veal chops, lamb chops. I got a pasta in this book, which is pappardelle pasta with braised short rib ragu and crushed plum tomatoes.
See,
how can you go wrong?
Why are you trying to hurt people like that?
Man, I need that.
That's hungry now.
That's my Denzel dish.
Okay, but you know, you're throwing down the crab meat, the shrimp, the avocado. I'm sorry. Those are not free.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. This time of year is when you just say, it's okay. You know, we all work hard. Even though the economy is a mess, you still got to live. For moments like this, it's important. You know, if you're buying for 15, do what we used to do back in the day. Chip in. You ever heard that?
Right. Chip in.
Let me run this by you. Check out the veal chop wrapped in prosciutto with sauteed figs and spinach.
You know what? I'm sorry. The fish tacos
All I can
are
tell
talking
you is,
to me.
Fish tacos screaming your name.
They're talking.
Screaming your name.
How did you get interested in cooking for people who don't know the story?
My mother, she worked in a place in Atlanta called the Jewish Home. And, you know, she was a cook. She worked in the kitchen, and it was a retirement home. And I would go there from the age of 7, 8, 9 years old, hang out with moms in the summer and go after school. And I knew all the people that worked in the kitchen. And my nickname which they still call me, is egg, you know, EG. Yeah, I know. Believe it. You know, everybody thinks, oh, because you had an egg head. No, it's just my grandfather used to call me that, and it just kind of stuck. And still to this day, my friends will still call and say, hey, what's up, egg? So in that kitchen, I used to sweep, and she would have me mop and peel potatoes and help her mix the rice and stuff like that. So when I got to, you know, 13, we were allowed to work in Atlanta for 4 hours only because it was like a after school program. And I started working in restaurants. And when I started working in restaurants at that age, I never looked back. And at that time, it was really only because it would give me extra cash. But when I got to the Ritz-Carlton, it was a life changer. I realized that, you know, I've been making smothered pork chops and baked chicken and catfish and all of these things. And I got to a place where they were doing, you know, seared foie gras and making homemade pastas and raviolis and duck and confit mm-hmm. and all of these great things. You know what I mean?
Did any of your boys ever make fun of you for being interested in cooking?
All the time. I mean, I'm wearing my burgundy clogs, which is what I've worn since I was about 15 years old. I've been wearing clogs my whole life. And, you know, now they're more popular because a lot of the nurses and doctors wear them. But you're talking in the early 70s. Oh, yeah, I got much grief.
What did you say? How did you respond to it?
You know?
No, I don't know. What did you throw hands? What?
Ooh, fist to cuff. No, I wouldn't say that. You know, I'm strong, secure, and, you know, I always had a purpose. It was a part of who I am. And I'm not the kind of guy, somebody's going to walk and go, hey, those shoes look funny on you. You know, it was a part of the culinary world, and I had so much respect for the culinary world. And what's odd about it is it wasn't even the clogs that got the most attention. It was the neck scarf. You know, you had to tie the scarf and fold it and look like a little bow tie that was too small. So, but it was a part of it. And today, being, you know, at the top of my game in the culinary world, having the two TV shows and doing all that I'm doing, now it's like, oh, yeah, I see it. But it took 20 years, but, you know.
It is interesting, though, that when you were coming on, cooking, it was always a respected profession
in a lot of places.
But you were not a celebrity. You were not. No. And now, did you think it's kind of interesting now that you're a celebrity?
You know what's funny? I actually hate that word, celebrity. I feel like my platform has gone to TV, so a lot more people know me. I was actually at, I do my annual party for one of my great, great friends and clients, the Hughleys, and I was talking with DL. He said, you know, man, we've been friends a long time, but I'm just so proud of you because every time I talk to somebody, they say, wow, that G Garvin man is really doing it. And it's funny because I don't feel like a celebrity. I feel like after 22 years in this business, I'm sort of getting what I deserve, but I'm enjoying it and I respect it. I'm happy about being more popular, but I don't know that I'm a celebrity yet.
Well, what's next for you?
You know, my culinary boot camp, it's going to open in Atlanta. It's a culinary boot camp called the G. Garvin Culinary Boot Camp. And it's for kids from 17 to 20, all things food, learning how to do food science, recipe and development, ownership, entrepreneurship. I've got guest speakers coming out. They're going to do cooking demos. They're going to go to restaurants. They're going to have tours. It is my quote unquote ghetto culinary school. And we're going to be providing scholarships, you know, for kids who just can't afford to go to culinary school and they really want to be a part of something other than rap, music, baseball, and basketball.
Chef G. Garvin, and he does not like this term, but he is a celebrity chef, a restaurateur, a TV host. His latest book is called Dining In, and he was kind enough to join us from NPR West. Chef, thank you so much for joining us, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you so very much, and Merry Christmas, and enjoy D.C. Next time I'm in that area, I'll come by and holler at you.
All right, holler.
Okay.